Okay, docket number three is case number 352718, People of the State of Michigan versus Andrew Cecil. Okay, we have Mr. Ambrose. Did he? Oh, there she is.
Judges, there we go.
Okay. All right. Good morning, Ms. Brugman.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Okay, Mr. Ambrose, you may proceed.
Yes, Ronald Ambrose appearing on behalf of Mr. Cecil. And in this appeal, we've raised three issues. One is with regard to ineffective assistance of counsel. Number two is the denial of a mistrial, and the third issue was a sentencing issue with regard to offense variable 4 and offense variable 9. The misreading of the preliminary examination testimony is somewhat bothersome, just because it was at a key point or a key phrase in the case, and it all boiled down to what was Mr. Cecil's intent. And the victim of the case had died, and so he was unavailable at the time of trial. So an officer was assigned to read his preliminary examination testimony. And instead of reading that my client's demeanor was one that he was trying to hurt the victim, he read it as trying to kill the victim. And the way that it was, at least in the transcripts, you really couldn't tell that he was making the correction to inform the jury that it was a misread. There was no evidence during the case that there was a correction made or anything like that. Like I said, it was important because my client's intent was the key issue in the case. He was claiming self-defense. There was what we would say, a mutual fight between these two. And having my client have a demeanor of one that was trying to kill the complainant was important. It was never corrected. The second issue is with regard to the claim of the mistrial. The prosecution had wanted to bring in evidence of gang violence or gang involvement with a remand to the district court. They filed a motion, they were granted the remand, and then the preliminary examination never is held because the prosecution conceded that they weren't going to go forward with this gang violence or gang activity charge. Come to the trial, they bring it up. I mean, one of the first questions that is posed to, if it was not the first question posed to Mr. Cecil, was how long has he been a Latin count? And, there was an objection and a cautionary instruction, but it just wasn't enough. This was an intent to have gang violence brought into the case when it wasn't part of the case. It wasn't relevant to the case. This was a situation where the complainant in the case was involved with my client's, the mother of my client's children. And that was basically what the fight was all about. To have that brought up in the case intentionally as one of the first questions, if not the first question in the case, felt that this was just a situation where a mistrial should have been granted. The final issue is a sentencing issue, offense variable 4. The complainant mentioned that he was in fear, but he didn't mention it. He was in fear of my client. My client was in custody and incarcerated. He was the one that is supposedly involved in the Latin counts and had disagreements with two other people involved. So there was really no basis to score offense variable 4 for serious psychological injury. And then offense variable 9 is with regard to number of victims. And this involves Miss White Eagle. She was alleged to have been trying to break up this fight, but there's really no evidence of how she tried to break up the fight. It could have been just verbally.
Mr. Ambrose, there was testimony she had blood all over her when she walked out in the hallway.
Okay.
So she had to be close to somebody.
Well, after the fact, you know, trying to take care of the complainant in this case, who was injured, but, you know, to suggest that she was placed in danger, it wasn't her blood, put it that way. So, you know, that's pretty much all I have.
Any questions? Okay, yes. Ms. Brugman.
Thank you, Your Honors. with regarding to the transcript, the misreading of that at trial, I think I lay this out in my brief as well, but there's testimony by the victim at the preliminary examination later on where he actually does say that he thought that the defendant was going to kill him. I know in this part of the transcript, it was read inaccurately, but obviously corrected right away. And no, the jury may not have known that because the defense counsel didn't object. It's not necessarily ineffective assistance of counsel for failing to do so. It was corrected on the record and really not outcome determinative because the jury ended up finding the defendant guilty of the lesser offense of assault with intent to commit great bodily harm as opposed to murder. So really those things combined, when you're looking at an ineffective assistance argument, I think that the argument fails. I don't think there's enough to show that it was certainly not prejudicial to the point of affecting the outcome of trial. So with regard to the gang evidence, again, this was argued not only at trial, but it was also argued on a motion for a new trial. And I think the record is pretty clear as far as the judge was very thoughtful in terms of making his decisions on whether to allow the evidence in and whether a curative instruction would be effective as opposed to a mistrial. Really the way I look at it is that this is because the defendant brought up self-defense, which originally he denied being there at all, but then changed his story to self-defense. So the prosecution, given the circumstances that were surrounding the death of the victim during the case, as well as what officers and the investigation knew of both the victim and the defendant as far as their relationships with the Latin counts, the prosecution's theory was obviously that motive was very relevant. And given the circumstances with regard to the girlfriend, the intent, obviously, which didn't quite pan out, as we know, was by the prosecution to show that this was retribution or this was punishment in the Latin count rules, if you will, to that you don't mess with somebody else's girlfriend. When the testimony first came out, or the question first came out from the prosecution regarding whether the defendant was part of the Latin counts. Obviously, there was an objection and the parties argued about it as to whether it was relevant or probative. And the court found that it was, given the purpose, the non-character purpose of motive and trying to disprove, which the prosecution has the obligation to do, disprove the theory of self-defense. Really, it's like a res justa argument in terms of the jury being entitled to the complete story. The jury should be able to put the whole picture together as far as why these two individuals would be in that circumstance and why it is relevant to hear about the Latin count rules and things of that nature. Ultimately, obviously, again, the testimony didn't quite come together. But really, again, as far as it being outcome determinative, it just doesn't rise to that level. The trial court made an evidentiary decision and he ultimately gave the curative instruction as far as opposed to a mistrial. And I think the record evidence supports the conviction that the defendant admitted that there was a dispute between him and the victim regarding the girlfriend. He initially denied even being there, but then changed his story to self-defense. The defendant interfered with witness testimony, the girlfriend's testimony, telling her, you know, don't say anything, you're going to mess this up. The defendant washed the inside of his vehicle. And again, the jury ended up finding the defendant guilty of the lesser offense. So ultimately, I would say that the gang evidence, while ultimately the judge found that should not have been considered, that the curative instruction was appropriate as opposed to a mistrial. I don't think that was warranted in this case. With regard to the OVs, I think, again, I lay that out pretty well in my brief. Obviously, the fear issue, that's not enough just to say that you're fearful to score on OV4, but I don't believe that is the only thing that happened here. The defendant, when the officers went to the hospital, that was when he told the officers that he was concerned about the welfare of not only himself, but his family. This was prior to the defendant being arrested, and the victim did not know where the defendant was at this point. So he ended up going into hiding and continued in hiding even after the arrest of the defendant, because he was so fearful. Obviously, he passed away, 8 months after or so after the arrest, and that was obviously called into question as far as the defendant's involvement or the Latin count's involvement. But regardless, the victim remained in hiding throughout the case. So I think there's a preponderance of the evidence to score on that. OB9, I think it's pretty clear from the record that while White Eagle, she didn't quite corroborate the victim's testimony about the knife and her involvement in trying to grab the knife, the credibility of her is certainly called into question. She had children with the defendant, and she changed her story throughout as well. And so I think the jury, I think that the judge could look to the testimony of both the victim and White Eagle and whatever else in the case and come to the conclusion that there was enough a preponderance of the evidence to score on that, that she was somebody that was in harm's way. I'm happy to answer any other questions, but I think that is in response to pretty much everything that was raised today by appellate counsel.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. Mr. Ambrose, did you want to respond?
I have nothing further to add. Thank you.
All right, thank you both for appearing this morning. This matter will be submitted for decision.
Thank you, Your Honors.